Welcome back to the pod. We got some structure now. We figured a couple things out. We're bougie now. Yes. We're starting a title episode, so you have a little more context on what's going on before you dedicate an hour. This one's going to be called Justin and Friends, a series of friends I enjoy having real talks with. Today, we got Paigelyn Perez. Paigelyn, what do you do for a living currently?
My biggest focus right now is I help business owners and entrepreneurs essentially with their mindset. So I do mindset coaching, but then I'm also a host in the Dallas area, whereas I do events, MC for events, Dallas of social events, so networking events. So that's also something I'm very excited about as far as projects.
Okay, and how old are you currently?
I am 22 years old.
Holy shit. Okay, I did not know that.
Wait, you didn't know?
No, even I didn't know. Okay, never mind. It's not Justin and Friends. It's Justin and Quaintances now.
Excuse me. Shit.
We're going to have to level you down a little
no,
bit.
No, excuse me, sir. Age ain't nothing but a number in the wise words of Aaliyah, okay?
Okay, that's even more impressive. What's your story?
Yes. So I was actually originally born here in Texas. So I'm a Texan at heart, but I was actually raised in Colorado. So I always like to say I'm a Coloradoan too. But I've been in Texas since 2015. So for about 8 years now. And my biggest thing is just my mindset I've been able to develop over the years. And I'm very grateful for all the experiences and friendships and relationships I've had in the past that has helped cultivate just who I am as a person today. I feel like every experience is always a learning experience.
Yeah, 100%. And at 22, I'm going to give you the usual pushback anyone would give, right?
Of course, yeah. Have to receive it.
And I'm glad you're ready for it. So 22-year-old coach, right?
Yes.
So all the stigma behind it. What made you not have, I'm sure you still have some imposter syndrome. I still do. What made you get on this path to realize, you know, some self-awareness that you might be a coach? How long have you kind of been on that path? And what makes you feel like you can do this?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So since I was really 17, I've been on this personal development journey. So I definitely feel like I started my journey early on, just recognizing that I've always wanted to do business in one degree or another. And I've always had a heart to help people. And so with mindset coaching, that kind of came in the future as I've been growing and developing a lot of people. I was always that person that people would come to for advice. What's your perspective on this? Or how do you feel about this? And so I always saw myself as that kind of person. But even speaking on stages, that's an identity I took on when I was like 19 years old, when I actually got the opportunity to speak on stage in front of 500 people. And so even just, it was 3 minutes. So it wasn't nothing major, but it was still like 3 minutes. I got the opportunity to tell my story and be some sort of inspiration to people. And so that moment on, I was like, I have to be on stages. I'm one to have the mic. Like I always love speaking and talking to individuals. And so it just came as I developed and grown. A lot of people say, as you mentioned, you gave me the pushback on my age. Oh, you're young. What experience do you have? But you don't see the years that I put in prior to developing myself and really putting in that deep work early on versus doing other things. Like I could have been going out and partying, whatever, not. And I still like to have fun, but there's a balance to it. And I really saw the value in just developing myself and my own person just to become a better version of myself. So that's been my focus even early on. So that's how I got started in that path. Cause I've always been in sales. And one thing about sales is it does take a lot of personal development to be able to be successful in sales or really understand the dynamic of business in that way.
Great answer. Okay. And given even more validity to it, you did the 75 hard challenge. When did you do that? What made you do it and how'd it go?
Yes. So that was a huge experience. It's not a fitness challenge. It's a discipline, mental toughness challenge.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what is the challenge?
Yes. So the challenge itself is for 75 days, you're supposed to work out twice a day. 45 minutes, one has to be outdoors, and then the other one, it can be indoors or outdoors, but 45 minutes twice a day, read 10 pages of a book, drink a gallon of water, stick on a diet, no alcohol. So I was also sober for more than 75 days and no cheat meals. You can't cheat on that. And so that was a challenge with it. And also take a progress picture each day. So that was a challenge itself. And I did that for 75 days. And yes, there were events that came up that probably had alcohol involved, but I just chose not to indulge in it. And it was a beautiful experience going through that and to have the confidence to know, hey, you completed something like that. It's definitely a game changer in your life. And I made the decision upon getting started that this was something I was going to do no matter what. So it was definitely a mindset aspect of, hey, no matter what happens, I have to get this done. it just builds a lot of confidence when you do complete the 75 hard, because one thing I learned from it is it's the small wins. When you wake up in the morning, you say, hey, I'm going to work out in the morning, and you do it, like, you trust yourself so much more. And it's really a game changer when you do it consistently.
What were your intentions going in? What did you want to accomplish by doing that?
It was really discipline. I was really seeking that discipline. I was really looking to really just have a catalyst change, something that would just throw me into a better version of myself. At that time, when I first started, I was into fitness a little bit, but I wasn't consistent. So it was more so I want to be consistent with the gym. I want to be consistent with those fitness goals and actually coming through for them. So it was more so the discipline aspect that I was like, hey, I know this will help me develop a lot and change as a person.
Yeah. And before that, did you struggle with discipline kind of your whole life?
In a sense, I would say I'm a little bit more disciplined in a sense now, but discipline is something that I've recognized is very important. And I feel like we all have some aspect of struggle when it comes to discipline. It's not easy to be disciplined all the time. Even successful people, they have to constantly reiterate that discipline in their own lives every morning, because even fitness bodybuilders, they don't want to go to the gym all the time. They have to be disciplined enough to be like, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to go regardless. I don't care how I feel. It's just about what I need to do. And so that's really the game changer when you don't take feelings involved and you're just like, hey, I know I need to get it done.
That's an accolade that most 22-year-olds would not subscribe themselves to. They would not want to put themselves through that. There's really no motivator or reason to, right?
Especially just now turning, 21 and being able to drink. A lot of people not want to try that, but I was like, hey, you know what, let's do it, who cares.
Yeah, you put yourself through hell on purpose. That definitely sounds like a certified coach right there,
something like that. But it was a beautiful experience. I feel like I had a lot of energy when I was doing it, just because I wasn't drinking, so I was not having to recover from the weekends. I was just enjoying life, and the fitness aspect, even going on a run every morning or going on a walk, was so refreshing to be able to do that. So it definitely was a beautiful experience.
For me, going sober, I'm about almost 9 months sober now. Mm-hmm. I had to do it for the reasons of, let's not kill myself or kill other people on the road. That was my, kind of one of the big reasons. It was going down a very bad path. Mm-hmm. There's more to it. If you've seen my other podcast, you've seen why. But for you, was drinking ever a problem for you?
Not necessarily. I can handle my liquor, I would like to say. But yeah, no, it wasn't ever like a problem. It just, I can definitely tell the difference when I do drink on a weekend versus when I don't. And I prefer not to, or I prefer having just, alcohol definitely has an influence on you. And I've recognized that too, even at my age. It definitely impacts your weeks if that's every single weekend where you're indulging in that, which if that's what you want to live your life, that's okay. But at the same time, for me, it's just like, even fitness wise, I know alcohol plays a role into your body weight loss. And so it's just, hey, even taking a break from it it's been very eye-opening, even in fitness goals too. It's just a matter of, it's never been like a problem for me, but I definitely see the benefit of maybe staying away from it, abstaining, and how that really impacted my life as well.
Yeah. Even during my podcast journey and content journey, she's been in the comments, just hyping me up with some pretty genuine comments too, and genuine senses of encouragement. So I can definitely tell you are the type of friend that people go to for advice, for some perspective, and a little bit of push, but also probably to hold them accountable. Yes. That's always probably been inside you, right?
Yes, I appreciate that.
Your whole life probably, I'd assume?
Not necessarily. It's actually crazy because when I was younger, I was actually completely opposite of where I was. When I lived in Colorado, I was very negative. So I've seen both the positive and negative aspect of having a mindset. Whenever you indulge in the negativity, that's all in your world. God willing, I'm here today from my past, and I experienced a little bit of depression growing up. I experienced the negativity, and I recognized that it was really all mindset. So even seeing both ends of it, I can attest to it that yes, your mindset has a huge factor, because if you're constantly negative, you think everything's the end of the world, then everything is the end of the world. That's how you put it out there. But having more of a positive mindset, you just have more beautiful things come to you. And so it's really a mindset shift. So I haven't always been that person, but it's something I've developed over the years. And even just putting personal development as a priority for me has helped me become that person for others. Whereas they're like, hey, I'm going through this, what do you think about this? And they like to hear my advice about it, or they like to hear my perspective. And I always say, hey, take my advice as a grain of salt, but this is my perspective and this is how I see it based on the books I've read, the podcasts I've learned, the audiobooks I've listened to, all the positive influences in my life. This is my perspective on it. And I have become that kind of person, and individuals do see me as somebody who I can provide that insight for them if they do need it. And that's, I like to provide value in that way too, to be able to help others.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this is honestly DNA, right? It's within you, and you either give yourself education crash course on getting yourself better and helping more people. But your life experiences, you said you had some depression, you had some negative influences around you. Do you have any specific examples of the ones that really impacted you that made you want to either be on this path or grow yourself and see some change?
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely say it was when I was in Colorado, actually. I had just the middle school years, we're all going through something in middle school, but even seeing that perspective and then moving to Texas, that was really the game changer for me, because when I moved here, I was very angry about the move because I was like, oh, I'm just now starting to build friendships in Colorado and things are starting to get better for me. And now I have to move, like, just plucked out of where I am to a whole new place.
Did you move in like middle school, high school?
I moved a day before freshman year of high school. So yeah, moving here was definitely a perspective shift because I just stopped caring about everything, which it sounds bad, but it actually was beneficial for me because the biggest game changer for me was when I stopped caring about what people thought about me. And once that happened, it was like, okay, I can live my life. Yes, I still had some insecurities here and there throughout high school, but it was like, I just stopped caring about the perspective that people thought about me. And I realized that was the biggest thing that was holding me back. And the thing about it is, nobody really cares. Everybody just focuses on their self. And so it's just a matter of like your own perspective. How you portray yourself to the world is how the world will treat you. And that's what I realized. And so that's kind of what I would say started, maybe prompted my self-development journey, was more in high school, because then I started looking into business influences. I'm not sure if you've heard of Gary Vee before. Yeah. He was like the first motivational speaker that I heard of. And I don't know
Yeah, he's the only one I resonated with. They're like, yes. You know, because like we're teenage angst, we're like, we're against all that shit.
Exactly. We don't want authority or whatever the case may be. And so when I first...
Shout out Gary.
Yes, Gary Vee. Come sponsor us. I'm just kidding. But yes, he resonated well with me, especially in my youth, because he was just like, try everything. If you want to get into business or if you want to figure out what you want, like just try everything. And I was like, okay, cool. And so I just listened to him and listened to his advice, and it resonated with me as well too. And that really projected my entrepreneur kind of journey, or my business minded, because I was like, I want to try different things. Like, I don't ever see myself working for somebody. I want to just be free in that free spirit. And it definitely prompted me to go down this path in that journey.
Yeah, and we can objectively say that as far as Justin and Friends series go, we've got a pretty attractive woman on that other side. Now, that attraction, that just being attractive, you said around at some point in like high school, you started realizing not caring about what other people think was a big one for you. So just as an attractive female growing up, did you feel attractive? Was that ever a thing for you? And did you struggle with how people saw you as far as like a physical standpoint?
Yes, definitely. That was the biggest thing I would say, like in my youth, was my perspective on myself. I actually thought I used to think I was ugly in middle school, and kind of growing up with that insecurity and different aspect that really had an impact on my mental health. Definitely. When you don't view yourself as beautiful or you don't see that aspect, it's very damaging to your soul, honestly. And going into high school, I started viewing myself differently, and I started thinking I was more attractive, I guess, in high school growing up, just regardless. But really, I feel like the most of my beauty comes from my inner beauty, because I definitely believe your inside reflects on your outside. So having just that self-love for yourself as a person definitely reflects. And even maybe if you're not the most attractive person, you can still be so beautiful. And I've also met people who are very attractive personally, but they have the worst personality and they just become unattractive just because they don't have that personality. And so it really starts with the inside on how you project to yourself. And I don't see beauty as like a thing, I guess, when you look at somebody, like, yeah, you can have beautiful qualities about yourself, but definitely the inside is what matters. Because if you can't connect with somebody on that deeper level, then you're really not connecting with anybody if you don't have a beautiful inside, if you can't connect with people that way. So yeah, definitely that helps as far as just seeing myself in a better light, having that self-love for myself. And yeah, I have imperfections, whatnot. We all have imperfections, but learning to love those imperfections as well is really the game changer too when it comes to it.
What is one of your insecurities that you've had before and one you have now?
Oh, we're getting deep now.
100%. We're going to get you vulnerable.
Yes.
You signed a waiver.
I did sign the waiver. So it's official. So can you say the question again? Yeah.
Yeah. Like growing up, middle school, high school, what were your insecurities then? I'm sure you've worked past a lot of those insecurities. Yeah. And then what might be one that you currently have? Because we all do.
Yeah.
But what was it before?
Yeah. Before, it was actually my physical appearance. I didn't think I was the most attractive. I just did not like myself at all. I don't know what it was. I just hated everything about me. And that was it was a terrible place to be. And it was a very dark place to be. And so I can speak on the dark place because I've been there before too. And nowadays, man, I don't know. I really don't know what I'm insecure about. I know there's areas that I can definitely work on. I would say fitness wise, even myself, even though I've completed the 75 hard challenge, sometimes I do face insecurities still going into the gym. Oh, I don't know if my form's right or I need to be eating correctly. I still do face that, but I don't focus on those insecurities. I try to focus on the positives about myself and that I know. Because words are very important how you say to yourself. So if you always tell yourself, oh, I'm an anxious person, for example, then you're going to be an anxious person. But if you say, oh, I'm feeling anxious or I'm feeling this emotion, then that's what separates you from the actual feeling you're feeling. And so whenever I talk about like insecurities or different things, like I try to separate myself from that insecurity as not identifying as an insecurity, but saying, oh, I'm feeling this way versus I am this way. And because words are very important, how you say and what you say to yourself. That's why I'm very careful about the words I talk about myself and others. I always like to put empowering words. And even when people talk about themselves, I'm like, no, you're not doing that. You're feeling this way. Like I try to help people with their languages too, because it is important what you speak out into the world, into the universe, because it ultimately that's what you're speaking out there. That's what you're putting out in the world. When it comes to insecurities or anything like that, I always try to, like, if it's, even if it's an area, for example, fitness, I'll take that instead of saying, I'm not fit, whatever the case may be, or I'm working on my fitness. Because although we might not be where we want to be, we can always work on something. So I'm working on this quote unquote insecurity that I may be facing right now. So that's how I like to put things.
That's a great point. So many of our insecurities are just things we can work on. You don't have to subscribe to being a victim. It's only a part of you. Yes. It's just all things you can fix. So one of the biggest things I learned through therapy was that you can work on your insecurities, but also the self-talk. We had many sessions on self-talk with my therapist, but one of the most recent ones that was the most impactful was what you say to yourself and what identity you prescribe to yourself. So the big trend, I've got anxiety, depression, bipolar, mood swings. That's just become such a trend for everyone in our generation to subscribe themselves to, right? And you play it off as if like it's a joke, it's just a topic, just way you relate to everyone. But when you do that 24/7, as if it's a joke, and your entire newsfeed is people filling up like really good dark humor about anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. You're not realizing that while you're in bed, while you're out, that's all you're thinking about, because your brain is convinced that someone with an anxiety disorder, bipolar, depression, they act a certain way. And we have many examples of how they act through social media, through the movies, everything. We have an idea of how that person acts. And that's what we end up behaving as. Like 90% of our brain, more than that, is subconscious. Everything we do on a day-to-day basis is described by the identity we subscribe ourselves to.
Yes.
So for that, I 100% agree with everything you said. What's a way someone can actually start to realize and attack that perspective shift so they're not self-talking themselves down into an identity that they don't even have? They just subscribe to themselves.
Absolutely. And no, absolutely. What you said is absolutely true. A lot of the things that we do are subconscious. We don't actively think that we're doing it. It's just a matter of habit, how we're programmed. And so I would say the first step is becoming aware of it. So becoming aware of what maybe you feel insecure about or what you feel like you want to work on, and identifying, okay, and separating yourself from it. Hey, this doesn't have to be my identity. Because a lot of times we're raised a certain way, or we grow up to have this certain identity, or people put us in a box where we become this identity. But you have to realize that your identity is up to you. You decide what your identity is. And so if you want to change something about yourself, if you want to change the results that you're getting in life, then change the way you view yourself, your self-image, your identity, how you perceive yourself. Because one thing I heard that was very profound is, and I believe I've already mentioned it too, but the world treats you of how you see yourself, in a sense. I butchered that a little bit, but you get the message. Like the world treats you based on how you treat yourself. And so if you're insecure, then the world's going to treat you like you're insecure. But if you're confident, if you are so comfortable in your skin, the world is going to be like, oh, wow, she's confident. And it's just a matter of switching how you think of things, because it's really all mindset. It really is all mindset. It's just a matter of switching things. For example, I heard this recently, and this was like very profound, but it was when you're walking out in public and people looking at you, a lot of times we're like thinking, like, sometimes if you're insecure, you're like, oh man, like they're looking at me, like something must be wrong. Instead, go out and be like, oh, they must be looking at me because I'm attractive. Oh, they must like what they see. And when you just switch that little thing, like life really provides that for you. When you just switch that mindset, the world really treats you that way based on how you treat yourself, based on how you perceive yourself. That's how the world perceives you. And so being able to shift that identity, it is a challenge. I'm not gonna say it's easy. It takes work. It takes deep work to be able to change your identity. But once you identify who you want to become and you just exemplify that and you become that person, that version of yourself, then that's really when the world will start treating you that way. And that's when opportunities that you want. For example, if you want to get in business, but you've never had a business mindset, okay, put yourself in a mindset that you are that business person and business opportunities will come to you. And so it's really just about identifying who you want to become, identifying where you are right now, becoming aware of where you're at, but then also identifying who you want to become and just exemplifying it. Walking, talking, acting like you already are that person that has what you want. And that's really the key.
Yeah, I think that's about as accurate as it gets. To even use just personal examples, for those of you who know, I'm a DJ, right? So I'm behind the decks. and Paige's like been there like from my first DJ battle ever. Yes. That's when I first started in the scene. She's been there for so many of the other gigs. But when I'm behind the booth, I feel pretty safe. I'm like half introverted, half extrovert. I took a Myers-Briggs test. I'm like 49% introverted, 51% extroverted. So I just feel a lot safer behind the decks, like controlling a party. So I hide a lot of my insecurities behind there, but it still shows, I think, when you're behind the decks, like what your insecurities are because of just how your mind is going. And that's what you're attracting subconsciously. Mm-hmm. So along the way, I'll sometimes shift my mentality. Okay, I'll go out tonight. I will be a damn good DJ. My music selection's great. My mixing's gone way better. And I am an attractive human being. And instead of worrying about those things, I'm just going to express my energy and let that be the attraction that might draw anyone to come talk to me or whatever that may be for me to boost up my ego a little bit. So those have always worked out. Just any of those examples, those have been like some of the happiest moments of my life when I actually prepare and say, this is how I'm going to go out and present myself to the world.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's inauthentic of you, because first of all, like being insecure and having all those things you think people care about and shifting your identity around, that is deeply rooted in you. And it was by other people. It's from your childhood. It's from growing up. It's from maybe some failures in your life in your 20s and just beating yourself up and comparing yourself to others. That's how it works. So it's not even you. So when you just try and practice positivity, a different mindset, and push yourself to see yourself in a different light while you're out in public, that helps start treating you better when you're also inside, when you're at by yourself, because those are the moments. If you don't enjoy being around yourself while you're alone, then you're in really bad company.
Yes.
And being in that bad company, who else is going to want to be with you? And I think at the end of the day, no matter what we do in life, we actually do want to attract higher quality relationships on those around us, on our life partners, what we're seeking. I mean, that Harvard grant study that followed people over 100 years, they found like, what's the key to living a long, happy life? It's the quality of your relationships. Mm-hmm. All that starts so much longer ago with so many actions you have to take on the outside that results in actions taken on the inside to get you to a place where you can have quality relationships. Mm-hmm. So some of those deep rooted problems start with childhood. How was your childhood? How was your relationship with your parents growing up?
Yeah, definitely. That's a good question. And I would say that definitely played a role into my depression, because growing up, I didn't have the best relationship with my parents. I saw them as the authoritative figures, and there's a little bit of resentment when it comes down to that. But
what's your background, like parents, ethnicity?
So my mom is Caucasian and my dad is Hispanic Mexican background. So that's, I'm mixed technically, yeah. If you could tell or not. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so I do have a little bit of a mixed background, but I did grow up pretty Americanized, I would say. But growing up, I didn't have the best relationship with my parents at all. It was very much just a lot of combative with my mom especially. And so I feel like that definitely played a role when I didn't have the best relationship with them. Of course, it relayed to my siblings too. I didn't have the best relationship with my brother. And so it relayed to just overall my quality of life wasn't that good. So it does play a role into the relationship aspect of it. So that was it growing up. But definitely over the years, I have a beautiful relationship with my parents. I love them. Like, I love the connection that I have with them now and just the freedom that they now respect me as a person, just as an individual. And I really appreciate that and love that. And I appreciate the role that they definitely had in my life, because they came from humble beginnings, I would say. It's crazy because life runs full circle, and I actually now currently am living, I'm about to move next month, but currently am living really close to where I was raised, on the better side, but they were on the hood side. So, and it's just funny how that full circle, but they came from humble beginnings, Section 8. They were able to work their way, have their careers, and work to middle class. So I was able to see that work ethic that it took from struggling, living paycheck to, okay, now we're not living as paycheck to paycheck and middle class. And now they're doing very well. They have their own house and different aspects of that. And they're beautiful. It's a beautiful family. And it's really cool. I appreciate the role that they had because they showed me that work ethic. So I give them a huge testament to the work ethic that I do have in my own heart and my own soul that I see is because of them. I was able to see their example of how hard they worked to get us, me and my siblings, to be able to provide and come through in that manner.
Yeah, you definitely have strong work ethic. I always see you on the go. So that's one of the things you can appreciate from your parents, even though they're a part of some of the issues that may have happened within you. Those are some of the things you appreciate, right? They showed you work ethic. Yeah. Any other things you picked up on from your parents that in hindsight were actually good things for you to watch?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And my parents were young parents. I can understand their perspective as well as far as trying to figure things out. I'm the oldest, so I was the first child. I was the guinea pig that they had to figure things out and be like, okay, how do we parent? And so I give them a huge testament. And I would say I grew up with them. I was able to see them grow up as well too. So not only did I develop and grow, but I saw them develop and grow as parents as well too, which has also played a huge role in just our good relationship. I was able to see how much they were able to grow and throughout even just like my siblings and how they raised my siblings a little bit differently from me. But I definitely appreciate that aspect of how they were able to also take that growth and not be complacent and not just stick to the same ways and understand that they can learn from their mistakes too. Because we all make mistakes. I don't blame them. As young parents, you do make a lot of, even as your firstborn child, you probably do make a lot of mistakes with your firstborn because it's so new. But I can take that and see that they were able to learn from those experiences. And now here they are. They've definitely learned a lot and they definitely, I appreciate even the traumatic experience. I appreciate that just that they were able to overcome that as well too.
Yeah, it's so important to give your parents empathy, not necessarily so you can forgive them for whatever mistakes they have made. It's not that you have to forgive them. It's the empathy just relies on everything with all your relationships, whether it's work, while you're growing your career, where your relationships, just everyone you interact with, they've got a deeper story that you absolutely nothing about. So that should start with your parents. So you got to give them empathy because those are the people that have the most context on you and they probably still hurt you in some way, yes. However you took it, right? We always determine our own feelings about everything. Whatever actions people take, we still choose how we feel about it. As a child, that's obviously harder to give yourself that much responsibility because you're growing, being shown examples of how to respond to emotions. A lot of that might be their conditioning on how you react and how you feel about certain actions. But giving that empathy, like, man, I'm sure it sounds like your parents grew up as you also grew up. Because you're saying by 22 right now, they have a bit of a different perspective on you. They're more accepting of you, right? Mm-hmm. What's the age gap between you and your parents? It sounds like they probably had you while they were young. Would that be accurate?
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yes, yes. They had me pretty young. Let's just say around my age, they would have had me already. So yeah, they're definitely very young when they had me. But yeah, I appreciate just being able to grow up and be able to see them flourish just in their... They're still young. They're still young parents. Like I don't want them to get old ever, but that's the inevitable. But yes, they're still young to me, but I just love that they were able to grow and develop throughout that phase.
Yeah, imagine being 22 and having to raise a child perfectly and teach them secure attachment styles and navigate through life, grow a career, and give them everything that would nurture a child growing up safely and being able to attack the world.
Still trying to go to college or do what they want to do with their career. Like, I'm looking at myself now. Yeah, y'all can see me as put together, but I am definitely not ready for any child. So
yeah,
same. It definitely takes a commitment for sure.
Yeah, so that's why it's so important to just give them, like, think about every single human you meet or that you've already met as yourself. That's, I mean, as far as being inclusive, you can wear a shirt that says be inclusive all day. But if you don't view everyone as the same as you, you never will. We're our own worst critics. We always beat ourselves up. And this is not advice. This is just from like life experience and growing up.
Yes.
I was in the victimhood mindset for the longest time. And I'm sure there's many parts of me that still are. But the more I look back at my life, the best moments happened when I gave responsibility back to myself. We can make excuses about how we grew up, how our childhood was, but at a certain point, we've been in control. It's time to shift that perspective and give ourselves that responsibility back.
Absolutely. That reminds me real quick of a saying, although it might not be your fault, it is your responsibility. Although it might not be your problem, or it is your problem, but you have to be responsible for that. It might not be the circumstances you grew up with. It's not your fault. You didn't decide to be born. We're here. We're just appeared on earth one day. But it is your responsibility on how you respond to situations and how you take that. Even if you've had a very traumatic childhood, like I've met people who had the most traumatic childhoods, but they use that for a beautiful thing. And that plays a role into just the perspective in the world. Like for me, I don't see anything as inherently good or bad. It's just how you perceive it. Nothing is inherently good or bad. It's just how you perceive it. And so it's just a matter of your perspective and how you take that. And although adversity can happen in your life, how do you respond to it? Do you allow that to affect you? Do you allow that to drag you down? Or do you allow that to empower you? Because God doesn't build people whenever they're having the best time of their life. God builds people in their pain. And so whenever you're in your pain, that's when you can grow the most, because you recognize that this is pain. This is, how can I grow from this? How can I learn from this? What's the lesson to be learned? And that's the perspective that you have to have sometimes. So that way you don't allow things to happen and be in that victim mentality, because we're not victims. We're not victims of our circumstances. We're in control of ultimately our mindset and how we go from that circumstance.
100%. And you just don't learn lessons until you fully experienced it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can read all the books in the world. You can be coached. You can go through everything from an external point of view. But if you haven't experienced it internally, nothing really sets in stone as much as that. So for even anyone that wants to get coached, you should come with some life experience. You should come with a little victimhood. You should come with a little depression. Because from that, a perspective shift coach could really actually help you and work you out on that. Because every coach that has been through all those things, they finally got themselves to a space where they can actually help themselves, and now they can help others.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the ways we grew up affects our entire way of how we handle people around us, such as relationships. So that's like attachment theory, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of attachment theory, but how you grew up as a baby, how your parents responded to when you cried, when you got angry, when you developed any emotions, how do they respond to you? Did they coddle you whenever you cried, or did they help you feel comforted and then they push you to figure it out on your own? Mm-hmm. So all of that matters, and whether you have a secure attachment or if you're anxious, you're always in a rough world growing up where you don't know how your parents are going to take care of you. So you're just, mm-hmm. you cry a little harder or you scream a little louder. You throw out as many mixed emotions as you can to get attention. That translates to your relationships throughout your life if you're not aware of it. If you're secure, it's done the right way, and defining secure is pretty hard. But if you're kind of avoidant, that usually means that you've given up hope on someone helping you, someone taking care of you, and you've realized you've had to take care of yourself. So in relationships, you might never communicate your feelings for someone else. You might never communicate that what that action someone did hurts you. And other ways that you might actually want to be reciprocated towards love. In arguments, you might never show up for yourself. You just avoid it and hope that someone else understands you, or you push them away to where they can't even help you anymore. And you just rather accept it as a self-defeat. And why are people bad? And why am I so bad? Mm-hmm. So that's how our childhood kind of affects us. So I don't know if attachment theory, but just growing up and all the relationships you've been in, what kind of attachment would you say you have?
Yeah, that's a good question. And you know, that is something I've been hearing a lot recently, but I'll be completely honest, I haven't done a lot of research with it myself, but I have heard other people that are like, oh, I'm this kind of attachment. So I'm like, okay, cool, interesting. And I think before it was a little bit of insecurity with attachment in a sense of like avoidant. Okay, let me just not deal with this right now. And that's kind of, I feel like how I've a little bit been in my life too, even just like with school. I'm like, oh, let me avoid this. Let me wait till last minute, whatever, procrastinate. But now I definitely feel a lot more secure, just because I know my worth. I know myself. And when it comes to relationships, I set standards and either you meet them or you don't. And they're nothing like ridiculous. It's just, hey, I have certain standards, that certain morals, and it's okay. Not everybody has to connect well. Sometimes people aren't fit for each other. So it's just a matter of identifying that and communicating what your needs are and what you're looking for to be able to establish that with somebody. And so I definitely feel a lot more secure just because I feel more secure with myself. Just based on what you're describing, like I said, I have to do more research on it, but definitely more secure just because I know my value, I know my worth, and I know that it will correlate. Whatever I put out will come back. So if I'm looking for security, then that will fruition itself to me in one degree or another. So if that answers your question.
No, 100%. How did you treat it in your childhood? Like just dating before reaching adulthood, how do you treat your relationships?
Yeah, I didn't really date. Honestly, my first like real boyfriend was like 16. So I started, I guess, late in the game. I know people were like dating before that, but I was just not really that interested in a sense. I was just like, hey, like I'm doing my thing, whatever. I don't really know what a relationship is and whatnot. And I've always known that high school relationships don't really last. And that's the truth, the universal truth. And so I was always never taking it serious. But I would say definitely, I guess growing up was more avoidant just because I used to not be somebody to be so direct. Like when it came to like my emotions, if something was like bothering me, I'd be like, oh, let me just not talk about it. Let me just ignore it or bottle it up. That was my coping mechanism growing up, and which also led to my depression, was bottling everything up and all of a sudden breakdown and everything comes out at once. It's not healthy.
It's okay. Not. And it's exactly what I relate with too. That's just 100% what self-worth was probably lower back then. Mm-hmm. Right.
So yes, definitely.
You think it doesn't matter. I want this thing, but if I tell them, they're going to go away. Right?
Yes.
That sense
exactly.
of abandonment. So in minority families, that's pretty common. You feel abandoned if you want to communicate a boundary or you want to communicate an expectation, both very different things, but whatever you want to communicate, you don't feel like you have the chance to, because you feel like they'll abandon you or they'll just say some hurtful words. Usually in our families, it's either hurtful words or hurtful actions. Yeah, and that's how I absolutely responded to relationships in my entire life. It was 100%, what can I do for you to make sure you stick around? Completely abandoning yourself, whether you realize it or not, just every action, or even if you just tolerate like things that are red flags for yourself, things you never tolerate going forward with another human being your life partner, let alone raising children with them.
Yes.
And you'll forgo some of those things just because you don't want to lose someone that paid attention to you and gave you the parenting is what insecure relationships come out of. That's what people are like, oh, you're just like your mom, just like your dad. It literally comes out of your childhood because that's how you're treating someone else, as if they need to parent you the whole way.
Yes.
Whereas secure would be you parent yourself, but you also still communicate your intentions, your boundaries, your expectations with them. And hopefully they can match it or mirror it and get to a place where they know how to treat you and you know how to treat yourself. You're both good separately and you can come together to share life, grow and expand. That was one thing I was like listening to recently. It's you will never have a full blown secure attachment, and you will also never be the perfect human being you want yourself to be before being ready for a relationship. Like what's good enough, right?
Yeah.
Good enough is just some of the things we just talked about. Just knowing your self-worth is important. Knowing communicating your boundary is important. Expectations, knowing that all of that is important to communicate. Holding yourself to higher standard, and also going out and doing things you love so that you actually have a life for someone else to be attracted to. This way, if they do leave, you're not anxious. You're not trying to get them not to leave because you have a life that's already great that anyone else would be attracted to. But more importantly, you yourself are attracted to leading a good life, right? So we can talk about that. I've seen you traveling, going to EDC, going all over the world. I had no idea you were 22. I'm 26, by the way, about to be 27.
Oh, you're still young.
Yeah, no, we're both. Remember, like, we thought 30 was just old as shit. And it's turning out it's
not
that great.
No, we're still young, 30. I'm going to be young 42.
yeah, we really will be. Like, Gary Vee, again, shout out, throw the fives up. You've always been preaching that, Gary, that we're way younger than we think, and the old perceptions are not real. We'll live way past that.
Yes.
And because of videos like that and people like Gary, we're starting to take care of ourselves much more early on. So what are some of the ways you've given yourself a higher quality of life, like even traveling, even going out, experiencing new things?
Yeah, definitely. And I would say my self-love journey was really in 2022 when I had started that, because I had just gotten out of a relationship, and it was in that relationship, I didn't have my own identity. And so having my own identity, now figure out what is it that I want to do me personally, that was part of my self-love journey. And I give a huge testament to my friend Yoma. You might have met her actually, but I don't know her. She came to one of the DJ events, but yeah, she was a huge inspiration to me because she was throughout the process and she was telling me, she's like, hey, I'm taking myself to Hawaii. I'm like, you're just going to go by yourself? She's like, yeah, I'm taking myself on a trip. I'm like, okay, that's cool. I love that. And she just, her indulging in self-love inspired me to want to go out there and also treat myself that. She would buy herself flowers all the time. I'm like, wow, these are beautiful practices that just show yourself love. And yeah, my trips, my first solo trip was actually Miami in September of last year. So literally almost a year ago, September 2022. And I was actually going for a dancing festival. I'm a Latin dancer. But I was just like, you know what? I don't know. I know two people maybe I'll see there. Maybe I'll see at the festival. But I just went and I booked my own place. And I was like, I'm going to explore this city regardless and meet new people. And of course, I did that and got to have those experiences. And I also went to California solo. I'm more comfortable with solo travel now. But yes, definitely showing yourself self-love, taking yourself on activities. Like even here in Dallas, there's so much to do. I started dancing and getting more involved with that and being more comfortable going out to places by myself. Like when I first got started dancing before I met like my community, I just would go to socials by myself and just be like, okay, I'll meet people there. And I did. I ended up meeting people there every time I went. So I was like, okay, I know I'm going to go meet people there. I'm there to dance, whatever the case may be. So even just putting yourself out there in those positions where you can meet people or where you can build those connections is also a game changer too. But yeah, those are some different ways I showed myself self-love, just like taking care of myself, going out dancing, treating myself, buying myself gifts. I liked buying myself flowers too, and different aspects of showing yourself those ways. And also really learning how to be alone too, I feel like is another form of self-love because before 2022, I never really was alone. This was my first year like living by myself. And so living by myself, I was able to experience that and be like, okay, this is a different dynamic. I don't have somebody in the next room. I can just be like, hey, what's up? Like, it's just me. It's just me relying on everything. And so it was definitely a different dynamic to be able to learn how to be alone and being okay with being alone too. Because a lot of people do have trouble with that, which I used to have trouble with being alone too. I thought that I always needed somebody with me or needed somebody to be there on the process. But honestly, the only person at the end of the day that's going to be there with you is yourself. So you have to learn how to love yourself and be okay with being alone. And those are the different aspects that you have to really indulge in and find out what's the best for you. What does that look like for you? So that way you can start your self-love journey or indulge in that and figure out how do I treat myself love? It's also a form of knowing like your five love languages and learning which one you are and figuring out, okay, if I typically love this out of other people, then that's how I can treat myself as well too.
Yeah. Looking for self-love externally is something it's such a conundrum, right? Looking for self-love from the outside. Mm-hmm. You can't get it 24/7. If you're alone and in bad company, like we said, that says everything there is to say. Even if you're attractive, 10 out of 10, everyone loves you physically, but you're by yourself and you're miserable, that will so much show in everything you do. Mm-hmm. And none of your relationships will last, or even business partnerships, entrepreneurship, it won't last because you're externally looking for everything, right?
Yes.
And it's crazy how some of our best friends, some of the people closest to us can show us a kind of a path and lead that way to show us, oh, we can go do something that excites us and we can do it by ourselves. Like your friend did that for you, yeah. Right? You even doing that right now. Sometimes I see your Instagram stories and I could view it as jealous. Oh, why am I not traveling? But it shows me, oh my God, she's taking care of herself. She's smiling. She's meeting new people. That's what you want at the end of the day. Like when you go to a bar and you're drinking alone because you're depressed or whatever, you're really not going for drinking. You're going to hang out with other people without them knowing you're hanging out with them, right?
Yeah.
That's how you're trying to develop communication. That's how you're trying to develop a sense of community almost. And taking ownership of how to build your own community, that's one of the most powerful things you can do for your life. So I commend you for doing that. And our friends showing us what that looks is even more powerful. So you can be an influencer. You can be a coach just by leading a life like that and taking those chances. Because the great thing is it works for you just by doing that. And you'll be a happier human being out of it. And now you might actually make impacts to other people's lives. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the hobbies? Like you said, Latin dancing. That's a big one to take. How'd you get into finding some of your hobbies?
Yeah, it all just kind of came. I'm big on, I will say, meetup. I give meetup a huge testament to a lot of different things that I've gotten involved with. So even just putting yourself out there, seeing different events that are like live and being like, okay, let me go check out this event and see what's going on. I've done like improv groups before. I have my little improv community, which I love. And then I even have like my Latin dancing community. And it's funny because I actually met somebody, they came to improv one time and they introduced me to the dancing scene. And then from there was just like,
Yeah, just all the branches, yes, just going all over. And you then, use social yeah. media to your benefit, right? We always shit on it, saying it disconnects us. But no, it's just what you make out of it.
Exactly.
You can use it to connect everyone.
Absolutely, yeah, connecting. And even with what I'm doing right now with events, we utilize social media to be able to bring people together, to be able to connect and market what the event is. Because at the end of the day, I've been to so many networking events. A lot of things have come out of it. But like to stay connected, like social media has been a huge catalyst for me staying connected with friends or people that I want to connect with or build relationships with. Yeah, huge testament to social media. Like you said, it's what you make out of it. That is the reality. But ultimately, yes, like different aspects as far as, I guess you could say it started online as far as my different hobbies, because I wanted to see what's out there. But then from online, I always like to go in person. And then from in person, I meet more things and more activities to do. So it's word of mouth, I feel like. And I just connect with people and they're like, hey, I have this event or I'm going to this thing. And I'm like, okay, cool, let me check it out. And then from there, I meet people who do different things. And then from there, I find more hobbies. And I'm like, oh, okay, I like this. Or even I try it. Maybe it's something I'm like, okay, this is new. Like I tried country dancing the first time a few weeks ago. I was like, okay, this is new, but I like it. I enjoy it. It's fun. But at least you can live with, oh, I tried it versus that. What if? Oh, what if I tried it? Because I can't imagine not going to that one event, that one social. Because what happened was they invited me to the social and the dancing event, and they're like, oh, it's like a quinceañera. So I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'm going to come show up. I've been to quinceañera before. And I go there. These people are like professionally dancing. I'm like, this is not a quinceañera. These are like professionals over here. But I just still indulged. And I was like, okay, let me check it out and see. And then the next day, I started taking classes and actually learning what it is I'm supposed to do while I'm dancing. And so that's kind of what jumpstarted it. But even I can't imagine my life if I never took that step, if I never went to that social by myself. Because ultimately, yeah, they invited me to it, but I was there by myself. I went and I was like, okay, I'm here by myself. Let me just try to learn how to dance or go out dancing and figure it out. And whenever you put yourself in that position, it's just, I can't imagine what my life would look like if I didn't get started in that, where I would be now. Dancing has brought so much happiness to my life that it's, man, it has really been truly impactful to my mental health and even just my social life too. I've met so many amazing people through dance. Like, where would I be? Where, I don't even know where I would be without it. So it's always that what if. You never want to live with that what if I tried that and it worked out. And that's what I always tell people, is making a decision, whether you do it or not, it's always a risk, but I prefer to not live with that what if. Oh, what if I tried it and it did end up working out? I like to just try it and see if it works out or not.
Yeah. Everyone in our generation struggles with like, what's your passion, right? That's we can beat ourselves up over that so badly. We don't know what we're passionate about. What are we going to pursue? Well, there's no way to know that until we actually go out and try different shit.
Exactly.
And like we said, like 90% of your life is just subconscious, going along with the flow. And if that results you in just being home and identifying yourself, even as an extrovert, an introvert, just putting yourself in that identity, man, you have no idea how many people I've met that are introverted that are out doing shit, just experimenting, living. You don't have to partake in anything, but just being around it leads to other things, like you being in that improv leading to dancing and many other all branches coming out of that. Okay. Those are living examples. Now, the pushback would be, hey, it's expensive to go out and do all those things, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a day job, or how have you funded all these things? What's been your financial way to actually giving yourself that eligibility?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been independent pretty much since I was 19. Regardless, bills had to be paid. So it's just a matter of finding a priority with it too, because yes, it definitely adds up. I won't say dancing classes are cheap, but it's just a matter of your priorities too. And I mean, there are free events, there are free dancing events, there are free social events that you can go to. And so you can definitely find free events, maybe gas, parking if you're going to Dallas, whatever the case may be. But still, it's just a matter of putting that priority and understanding that it's all about experiences. Like for me, it's when it comes down to finances, I definitely, it's good to save, but then also I reflect on, what if I put saving as a priority versus an experience I had? What if I said, oh, let me save this money instead of going to Miami? Then I wouldn't have gone to Miami and met amazing people and had a great time and had those experiences that have impacted me even to this day. So I always think of it like, I'd rather have the experience versus maybe just having the money. And I've always had jobs here and there, like sales jobs. I've always had sales roles, and bills have been paid regardless. And definitely, I'm still working on my finances to this day. You know, I'm trying to be on that millionaire, Justin a Millionaire podcast. So yep, we're getting there soon. But yeah, so nothing has been perfect, but it's still a matter of priority. Do you prioritize this versus something else? And so it really just kind of is a matter of what you value and different aspects of that too. And if you are wanting to get out, I'd rather go spend money meeting people, being social, than at a bar somewhere. So it's just, where do you put your priority? I'm sure you find time. If your friends say, hey, we're going to go out on the weekend, I'm sure you're going to somehow find the money or time to go out on the weekend. So it's just a matter of where your priorities are on that spectrum.
100% about rebalancing your priorities to give you a better life in the micro and the macro. 100%.
Yes.
Now, like, even finance wise, Warren Buffett said he's probably the best financial advisor category you could take this from, because it just proves in a timeless manner. He says, okay, so let's just say you're doing okay financially, and you can put aside like $5,000 or $10,000 a year into the S&P 500 and just grow from there. Simple investment. But if you've only got $5,000 to invest every year, he even says, don't bother investing. Give yourself life, give yourself education to grow yourself so you can make more finances. So where you could put $50,000 aside into the S&P at some point, because you've now been more educated, which leads to better finances. Or take that money, and if you've got a family or friends, or you just want life experience in your 20s, go and take that money and give yourself that. Because without that, you're not going to grow into a wonderful human being that can be capable of giving value to the entire world. Mm-hmm. So that's how you rebalance your priorities. Like, man, 20s is a time to experiment. That's, I'm speaking from experience, by the way. Yeah. Take that money and give yourself some experiences, education, and just grow with that, because that's the best lesson. That's the only time in your life where you'll be at your prime to go do those things. You have all these excuses.
Yes.
And that's how you find your passions. So absolutely. I'm glad you did that.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, absolutely. It's all about just where your priorities are. Like, I'll be honest with you, I've spent $10,000 to get myself mentored, like to invest in myself. Wow. I spent more than $10,000 probably over my whole life to invest in myself, just with all the books and different aspects that I've done that. But you put priorities where it's at. If you really want to get better as a person, then you will invest in yourself. You'll find that time. But if you want to have those experiences, and like you mentioned, yeah, those experiences help you grow as a person. And so if that's where it comes to it, maybe you can only spend or only put away X amount of dollars. Maybe it's not as much, but a little bit, just to prepare for the future, then do a little bit and use that for experience, whatever the case may be. Like, I totally agree with that. The experience is definitely, the skill sets you build can help you just long-term down the line. So it just depends on where your priorities are at.
Doing what you love for a living is usually the way to not only just have a happy life, but that's the way to maximize your value to society. And when you maximize your value to society, that's when you actually maximize what your own net worth could actually be, right? Because mm-hmm. it's more authentically true to you. For me, I've always known that this, like doing something like this, being a content creator, doing podcasts, anything along those lines, that's always been my daydream. Like, anytime I'm alone and I'm just thinking out into the abyss, it's always like in a podcast format for some reason, yeah. right? And it's so crazy that I'm living this right now.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's not even been like fully published yet, but that's how I'm living this. I'll give you this example. The only reason I'm able to do this right now is a couple months ago, like in June or May, I took the chance in buying a course, and I'm usually like against courses and all that, but I've subscribed to a few. It was a $300 course, and I was like, this would not be a smart financial decision at all to put in the $300. It was a 30-day talking to the camera challenge. That was a challenge. So it was actually actionable. For 30 days, you talk to the camera for 5 to 10 minutes a day, and it's guided on how you get better as well.
Okay.
But that challenge, I was like, okay, so I've subscribed to a lot of identities about being insecure, about how I look on camera, how I might sound, how I just look overall, and whether I'm even worth giving out opinions or values or exchanging with other people, which all of those, like, I knew, like, were half bullshit in my entire life, right? They were just bullshit. Like, the way you look, you can always change it. The way you feel about yourself, you can change it by actions you take and proving to yourself that you can accomplish things, and you give yourself more self-value, self-worth. Those key words just increase the more you prove to yourself. So all that's there. I know I'm worth something. And everyone I talk to, even if you weren't hitting record right now, these are the things that would give me a 10 out of 10 high with our interaction right now, mm-hmm. is talking to each other like this about the real shit that matters. It's like Justin and Friends, right? Real talk, Justin and Millionaires, real talk with millionaires. Anything, any of those categories you'll see out throughout the show, that's exactly what I've wanted to do. A couple months ago, even a month ago, this wasn't a reality for me. But that $300 investment, instead of putting it towards savings or stocks or going around and just hanging around, that money was going to be gone no matter what. Doing that was a way for me to avoid the identities I subscribed to myself. And doing that was a way to practice, which is really all it takes for you to be able to do something, actually do it, right? Mm-hmm. Especially for a good period of time, whether it's fitness, anything. Doing that challenge, 2 days in, I'm like, I'm way better on camera than I thought. Okay, that gives me a little value. Couple more days and I finish a week and I'm like, there's no excuse for me to wait until I finish these 30 days of talking on camera, and I should just start this.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for investing in myself, taking that hit financially, and actually taking action on a course, practicing that 7 days. And I'm like, yeah, let's fucking do this shit.
Yeah.
How much value is that? And I know my net worth will absolutely explode. It might take 3 years, 7 years, 20 years. I don't care. Yes. I have like no idea how happy I am doing this. Oh. We finally have a little structure, like Justin and friends on this. And we finally have something. But I basically mentally masturbated to figuring everything out, you know, equipment, structure, lighting, scripting, who am I going to have on? Who am I not going to have on? All of that doesn't matter if I don't just do it. So for my goal, do 100 episodes. Don't get feedback from friends, family, none of that. Just keep it internal.
Yes.
Do 100 episodes and then go from there. That's the goal. That's my goal to explode.
That's so beautiful. I love that.
See, even like the way you responded, that's amazing. I would have never thought everything that's in my head that I want to do on camera that I daydream about, now I'm living it.
Yes.
Never thought that I'd get responses like that from someone sitting across or potentially someone behind that camera now.
That's so beautiful. No, honestly, and you're right. Like, it's just the action you take. The fact that you took that step encouraged you more. You're building that confidence within yourself. Like, similarly to 75 Hard, I was like, we were talking about, just to go back real quick, my friend was like, oh, let's start Monday. And I was like, no, we're starting today. It was a Wednesday. I'm like, we can't say we're going to start Monday because it's never going to happen. We just have to start today. And it's the action that you take that really is the game changer. Because you could say, honestly, kudos to you, because I've been saying I'm going to start a podcast. So
it's been 6 years for me. Yeah.
6 years. Yes. Yeah. So now you're doing it. It's the action you take. It's a matter of buying the equipment, actually recording the episodes, putting yourself on camera, putting yourself out there. So that's so amazing to hear. I love it.
I literally went into massive like financial credit debt buying all this shit. And I bought this 2 years ago. Like, these mics have been covering dust.
You've had these nice mics for so long.
I've had Joe Rogan mics and this mixer that can do everything.
Yes.
I've had all this for 2 years.
Oh,
and
man.
I chose to go into DJing instead because I was like, okay, I can still at least hide.
Yeah.
I can suppress a part of my identity and hopefully still get the same kind of high, which I did get to similar highs. But I was like, man, at some point, this is going to be over.
Yes.
Because this is not who I really am fully.
Yeah.
I still love DJing. I absolutely will continue doing that. But this, I can do this fucking 24/7.
Yes, I love that. That's so beautiful. I love that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Us doing this finally, what would you say to someone that wants to start something that they think financially doesn't make sense for them, that the world will not pay them for, all the insecurities behind that?
Yes. Let me tell you, when you say you've gone into debt for things, I definitely have too. I'm in the midst of just seeing the value of, I know this can help me improve. And although people, when they say, it's crazy because I feel like I did start at a very young age as far as business. Like, I invested myself in a life insurance license at 19 years old. People would be like, oh, you're crazy. Like, why are you 19 trying to do this? Just go party or whatever. No, I invested in myself. My parents didn't understand it either. They're like, why are you paying to be part of this company? Or why are you paying to do this business? I'm like, that's because what business is. You have to pay in order to make an income. I don't know. And so just a matter of putting yourself out there where financially, yeah, it might not make sense, but it's the risk you got to take. Regardless, that money's going to go somewhere. So why not put it somewhere where it can help you? It can provide fruition in the future, can provide you that value. And so I'm all for that. If there's something where it's like, hey, money is it can be a limiting factor. If you always feel like money's going to be an issue, then it always will be an issue. It's just the mindset you have behind it. If you're like, hey, like for me, honestly, I'm not the best financial advisor at all. You don't ask me financial advice, because if you're like, should I invest in it? Yes, invest in it. If you feel like it will help you be better, like you could have $0 in your account and I'm like, well, find it somehow. If you really want to make this happen and you're passionate about it, like you're going to find a way to make it happen. But a lot of times people allow money to be a limiting factor and it really shouldn't be. If you really want something to happen, make it happen one way or another, whether you have to work extra hard or maybe take extra shifts or get another job to be able to pay for it. If this is something you're truly passionate about, then why not? Why let money hold you back? Why allow that to be a factor? Money always comes and goes. Money flows all the time. It's just an exchange, regardless of wherever you're spending it. It's always going to come in. It's always going to leave your account. So might as well spend it towards things that you know will benefit you. It's going to come back. I promise it'll come back. Okay. One way or another. Absolutely. Even if you're young and you feel like, oh, that's expensive. How do you think that I see so many like 18, 19, 21 year old millionaires nowadays, like with YouTube, with online social media, there's so many people, there's really no excuse like to go out there. And so it's just about taking action and it's something that's important to you, then take action towards it. That's all you have to do. Just one little action step. And whether it's a $300 course or $10,000 mentorship, whatever the case may be, just invest in it. Nothing's more than the other. It's just a matter of the importance you put behind it. Like for you, the $300 course, that was so profound for you because it puts you in that place. You took it seriously because you had that financial backing with it. And a lot of times when things are given to us, we don't take it serious. We take it for granted. So whenever it's your own personal pen, it could be your last $300. Like so many stories where this was my last $300, but now I'm a millionaire because of it. Just do it. Like money's going to come back. Money will always come back to you.
Yeah. The adversity of taking risk and not taking risk, your whole life is a risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You were born given a death date. It's going to be absolutely over at some point. The amount of times just from experience that I've been in crippling debt or down to my last dollar, I can name you so many times throughout my 26 years of being alive. And every single one of those, I was chasing something for money, status, ego, whatever it was to make it work and say, okay, now people will love me. Mm-hmm. That external, again, it all comes back to childhood, how your attachment is, how your therapy is going, your internal self-work, shadow work. It really comes down to that because I was chasing all the wrong things to make that work. And of course, it would all result in, okay, I did well, because just usually when we have the DNA of being a creator or being an extrovert in the world to give value, mm-hmm. we have capabilities. So everything we do, even you did insurance. I still have my insurance license, and I'm actually like, I do small group health insurance for companies.
Nice.
But doing all those things, like you still have to produce. It has to be your day-to-day thing. When you're not out there in the day-to-day executing on, for me, insurance or DJing even, if you're not giving your all in, it's probably because that's not all you. Mm. So this one, giving that $300 and going into debt for this, now I put myself in a whole different rock bottom. I'm like, no, I'm going to commit to this. If it means working a full-time job, going into something else to fund this, now I actually have something for 24/7. My entire life, day to day, this is something I can do to actually say, this is the final goal. This mm-hmm. is actually what it's been. It's 100% me. I'm going to make this work. So everyone that's viewing, please share this podcast. I need it.
Yes.
I need it. You're going to make me have a horrible story.
No.
If you don't get me some fucking views.
They're
on
gonna
this.
They're going to share it just because of the value that you provide on it. So
that's crazy. It's just perspective. People in our 20s. These are some of the right ways to do it, just from personal experience. Again, not advice. I'll never give you advice. I'll just show you what my perspective and experience has been, and documenting the journey along the way. That's where all the value is at.
Yes.
So I appreciate you being vulnerable this whole time, sharing your story, how you grew up, what you've done, your current project. What are you working on and what are you hoping to get out of it?
Yes. So my current project right now, I'm very much focused on my mindset coaching with helping individuals like business owners, entrepreneurs, be able to help them really realize their goals and achieve it. Because I remember when I was in a place too, where I was like very not clear of where I wanted to go. And so having that clarity and having that direction and even that perspective shift, like the mentorship that I've, because essentially how I got started is I started doing the mentorship myself. And then they invited me to be a part of their business as well too. And I'm like, oh, wow. That's exactly what I want to do. I want to be in that position where I can help others. And that's one thing I'm excited about. But another thing I'm excited about too is I'm going to start hosting with a group events in Dallas. These are going to be social events where you can come, build, network, connect with other people. I'm all about bringing people together. So that's something I'm excited about. Like literally next month, we're going to start having events too. So keep an eye out for that. Different events that you'll be having in Dallas as far as networking events, just socialite events, just bringing people together. My biggest thing is I love when people come together. I've met so many people just from introductions from other people, and I want to be that provider as well too. I want to be that safe space for others to be able to come, feel safe and comfortable connecting with others. And there's a lot of businesses that come out of it. There's a lot of ideas. There's a lot of connections and relationships that are built because of different events too. So that's also something I'm very excited on working on, is the social events. So stay tuned for that in Dallas. If you're in the area, definitely keep an eye out for that, because those are going to be good events that you want to attend.
And what's the best way for people to find that information about you? What social link?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram. My tag is at pagelyn.perez, PAIGLYN.perez, PEREZ on Instagram. That's probably the best way. You're going to see all the different social events I'll be happening, because I always like to post about it. Definitely follow me there on Instagram and stay tuned there. So that way you can keep up to date with the different events that will be coming here in Dallas, because I promise you don't want to miss them.
That's amazing. We will definitely link everything and every way to follow Paige-Lynn and support her. The community we're building through this podcast, yes. I hope to do it for the rest of my life. And one of the goals is to make sure we bring value to our guests. So please, let's support our guests.
You will.
100%. And then also, selfishly, if y'all can please support the show, share it. Another way to support the show, I'll put like a buy me a coffee link down below. Yeah. And whatever Venmo resources link. Are there. Yeah, send me direct money. Please support the show. I'm in crippling debt.
No, I love it. He's providing value. I love it. Definitely share the show because this is the value, even the value that you're providing is such a beautiful thing. Like the fact that you're out here doing it, like it's amazing. So
thank you.
You're definitely going to impact a lot of lives. And I really do see that you're going to inspire a lot of people. And it's such a beautiful thing that you have a platform where you can do that and provide that value through your own experience.
That's 100% the goal. And that'll always be my intention. I don't plan on ever having a paywall for these episodes or anything I do. You'll never be behind a paywall. My community and what I want to do with this, all the intentions you'll feel through the camera, and that's who I am. So I'll never ask you for help in any other way besides share the show and support the show however you can. Yes. Thank you. This has been an amazing episode, Paige-Lynn.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for fucking coming on. Anything else you'd like to say to anyone?
No, just be great. Go out there and do your thing and make it happen. And I look forward to the next episode. I love this and I love hearing your insight. And I'm so excited to see how this podcast goes. So thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, love. We will also ask you a question if you'd like to have Paige-Lynn back on. I already feel like you guys would enjoy having her back on. So please let us know as far as the Justin and Friends episodes if you'd like to have her back on.
Yes,
thank you. One more bump.
Yes, I love it.
Podcast over.
Yay.